Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is senior writer at Entertainment Weekly, Clark Colas. And we're talking about his book, You've Got Red on You, How Shaun of the Dead Was Brought to Life. Clark, welcome to the show. It's a real pleasure to talk to you about this book.
It's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Obviously I love the movie, but this was so much more than like a fanboy book. This was an in-depth sort of look at how the movie got thought of, how it got money, how it got made, and the aftermath. How hard was it to put all this information? Because you've got a lot of behind-the-scenes information in this book.
Yes. I mean, my intention at the start, I have to admit, was not to write a 450-page book about Shaun of the Dead. I'm not saying it doesn't deserve it, but that was not really my intention. I am a senior writer at Entertainment Weekly magazine in New York, based in New York, and I had written about Edgar Wright, who's the director of the film.
Yep.
I had written about Shaun of the Dead prior to this, and you know, I figured, well, I've interviewed like five or six people about this film. I'll interview five or six more, and you know, it'll be, you know, I mean, it's a cult film. I mean, it was certainly successful. It made its money back and far, far more, and launched a lot of careers. But it's not the most famous film in the world. And I thought, well, I'll do a dozen, 15 interviews, and it'll be like 200 pages. That seems like the right amount. And then for various reasons that we can get into, by the time I finish, I mean, it has some photographs and storyboards in it, but it's a solid 400 pages.
It's a
lot. I wound up interviewing, you know, about 70 people.
It's a whopping book, and I was like, I was skeptical when I picked it up. I mean, I was going like, really? This much about this film? And I have to say that, again, what this really is also an in-depth sort of insider's look about how small independent movies get made, the things that they go through. And so you can see it both as a fan of the movie, but also any person who's interested in film should read this book.
I feel people who are interested in film and people who are interested in making a film of this ilk can read it, and then it will either, you know, hopefully help them when they attempt to do it, or completely put them off, which in some cases might be the right result. I don't know, but I certainly don't want to put anybody off.
Well, but not only that, Clark, the design of the book is really wonderful.
I should say that's down to my publisher and our designer. Being a writer, I of course think that, you know, my words are golden, and had it been up to me, we could have just printed this out on like an office copier and sent it to people in loose A4 sheets. My publisher pressed to turn it into, you know, what is like an absolutely, almost like a work of art in itself. As I said, it has lots of, you know, storyboards.
Yeah, but even the edges of the paper are great. I mean, it's like it looks great. And so this is a fun book to read. And by the way, it's really nice paper, too. Let's start talking about the film. The film Shaun of the Dead was filmed in the summer of 2003. The two main actors, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost, and the director was Edgar Wright. Now, there's so much we could talk about, and I'm going to just skip around on a couple of interesting things. One of the things that may not be that well known to American audience, the British TV show Spaced figures prominently in the history of this film. Can you talk about that?
Yes, very much so. So Spaced was a sitcom written by Simon Pegg, who I think a lot of people will know. He's been in many, many films, but, you know, to many people, it's probably best known from the Mission Impossible franchise to a degree. It was written by himself and another comic actor called Jessica Hines, And it was directed by Edgar Wright. It was a major sitcom in Britain, but it was on Channel 4, which is one of the sort of less popular main stations, I guess. And being British, I think it ran for two seasons of 7 episodes each. No one really knows how anybody comes up with these figures. So 14 episodes in all. But it was essentially about two people, played by Simon Pegg and Jessica Hines, who pretend to be boyfriend and girlfriend so they can rent an apartment. And, like, that's a really cliched sitcom premise. But it's really the only thing that's cliched or even sitcom-y about this show, which Edgar directed as if it was like a movie, essentially. In so many ways, you know, the angles and the cutting and just, you know, and they wrote it as if it was a movie. And so one second, you know, they're in, a pub or whatever, talking about this and that. And then two guys from The Matrix turn up all of a sudden. Or I still can't believe they got this on British television. Simon Pegg's character, who's sort of like, he's a cartoonist but is largely unemployed, does so many amphetamines with his friend played by Nick Frost that he stays up all night playing Resident Evil, the video game, and then begins to hallucinate that he is actually surrounded by zombies who he then bloodily dispatches. And bear in mind, this is again a sitcom showed during prime time on British television when there was literally only 4 channels.
I've actually seen it because I've got the DVD collection of it.
Right.
And it made no impact here whatsoever, but right. it's a great show. And I strike. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say when it was finally given a proper DVD, you're absolutely right that it made no impact, but it was one of those things that, you know, a friend of a friend of a cousin of a friend of some bloke they met in a bar had turned like a British DVD. And so, you know, it was sort of handed around and became so kind of well known that when they did a proper DVD release, you know, probably 15 years ago, the commentaries, in addition to, you know, Edgar and Simon and Nick and other cast members, like Kevin Smith's on the commentary, Quentin Tarantino is on the commentary of at least one, I think, and I think several episodes. So, yeah, that in itself sort of acquired this cult following. And there's a whole, I mean, that's why one of the reasons the book is so big is, I mean, there's a whole chapter on a whole chapter on space, which is,
it puts the three main characters together before the filming of Shaun of the Dead. So you got Simon Pegg, you got Nick Frost, and you got Edgar Wright.
Yeah. And it's very much the genesis story of Shaun. And I almost, I mean, there were certainly times when I thought, well, maybe I should now write a book about space. which I may do, frankly, because that itself, and if you were a real fan of British comedy, then so many people have kind of small roles in space. I mean, Ricky Gervais,
that's right,
has, you know, a tiny role in space, and all these people, you know, turn up. And now when you look back, you're like, wow, this is an amazing, you know, just the supporting cast is amazing, let alone the main cast.
Now, so Simon Pegg has been interested in zombie movies for a long time. It was fascinating learning about Edgar Wright's background. What was A Fistful of Fingers?
Right. Well, so most people assume, let's just take a step back. That one of the reasons that I really wanted to write this book, I mean, I too am a fan of zombie films. And I, you know, and as I said, I had interviewed Edgar and Simon and Nick, and we'd gotten on pretty well. But the main reason that I was sort of interested in Edgar in the first place was that Edgar grew up in a small town in rural Britain called Wells, W-E-L-L-S. And if you've seen his movie Hot Fuzz is mm-hmm. largely shot in Wells. All the exteriors are shot in Wells, so you can see that it's a very picturesque but, you know, small town in rural England. And that's where I grew up. I went to boarding school for 11 years at Wells Cathedral School. In Somerset, and so I kind of, oh, I mean, Edgar's a, I didn't know Edgar, he's a few years younger than me, but I kind of grew up fascinated with films, but being conscious that I lived somewhere that seemed very, very far away from Hollywood. And that's the same experience that, that Edgar had. And also because we were kind of contemporaries, he had a similar experience to me that you know, if he wanted to, so say he wanted to see Night of the Living Dead, which is, you know, most people regard as the first kind of proper modern zombie movie, he had to wait until it was shown on one of the, at the risk of repeating myself, at one of the four, or possibly three at the time, channels that existed in Britain.
Oh, wow.
It would only be on at 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, he'd have to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning. And he didn't have a video recorder. His parents didn't have a video recorder. So he wants to see Night of the Living Dead. He's got to stay up till 3 in the morning, watch it till 5 in the morning, and then get a couple of hours and go to school. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, it sounds so strange now, but there's a sort of half-forgotten Clint Eastwood World War II movie called Kelly's Hero.
Oh, yeah, I know it. I know it well.
But, like, as a child, this is almost like my holy grail. But
wow.
It was always like it would be on TV, you know, once every 18 months, and I was dying to see it. But that particular day, there'd always be something that would kind of get in my way of seeing it. And so I can very, you know, I sort of nostalgically, I guess, now remember that our access to this kind of stuff, if you're over, I mean, I'm 54, your access to stuff when you were growing up was very, very, very limited. And thus became, in a strange way, you know, quite prized. And so, you know, Edgar got into, I mean, he saw the first half of An American Werewolf in London at quite an early age before his parents sent him to bed. And so he had to kind of fantasize about what the second half was about.
Oh, my God.
And then he saw Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead, you know, as a teenager, probably surreptitiously. I think he saw Dawn of the Dead, I think like a friend of a friend, an older, you know, school acquaintance or whatever had on VHS, and Simon had a very similar experience. And the thing about zombie movies was that they were always kind of the least cool. They were always sort of the most hardcore horror movie, I guess. They weren't romantic like vampire movies. They didn't have the sort of classy cachet of a Frankenstein or even a Hammer horror. They were very much for, you know, decades before Walking Dead, they were very much for hardcore horror fans. And so when Edgar and Simon finally worked together on a show called Asylum, which is the fourth space,
yeah,
they found out that they both loved Dawn of the Dead. And nowadays, I think, to meet somebody, you know, to meet someone who's a horror fan, or to meet anybody really, and to find out they're a fan of Dawn of the Dead, you would just be like, oh yeah, cool, I like that too. But they could not, you know, it was almost the first people, I think, that they'd ever met that loved this film as much as, you know, as much as they did. And so they really bonded over it.
But what was A Fistful of Fingers?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So,
and now I know why it went to 400 pages.
Yes. No, I mean, you can imagine during COVID, I have spent a lot of time on my own in a room writing a book about Shaun of the Dead. So, yes. So Edgar, yes, so my point was already that Edgar grew up in a small town in the West Country of Britain. He went to some sort of film school for a year and then decided to, I don't mean what I mean, he went to a respectable college, went to Bournemouth Arts College, but it wasn't really a directing course that he was doing. And he became dissatisfied and decided to leave college and just make his own movie, which was a comedy western called A Fistful of Fingers, which he made in his hometown with his friends. It wasn't like a professional cast.
Can you view that on the web or something?
You can watch it on YouTube, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. It's never gotten, I mean, it was released, it was ultimately released for 1 week in one cinema in the UK. it's a huge achievement that he made it. And if you watch it, then there are certainly moments when, in retrospect, you can see that it's an Edgar Wright movie.
Okay.
But it's a very cheap, I mean, it was made for in the region of $20,000.
Oh, my God.
It is a very cheaply, I mean, it looks crude. I mean, what's interesting is, I mean, everybody worked very hard on it. And because of that, Edgar is loath to badmouth it, you know, because a lot of people put a lot of time and energy into it. But put it like this. When Edgar was promoting Shaun of the Dead, which is technically his second film, people naturally assumed that it was his first film because no one had heard of A Fistful of Fingers. And Edgar told me that when that happened, he did not feel the need to correct them. You know, people would just say, so Shaun, so your first film, Shaun of the Dead, and Edgar would just go, okay. Because this was, I mean, Shaun was like 14 years, you know, 12, 13 years later, and in that time, Edgar had spent a lot of time working on TV and had really become a different, you know, sort of, I mean, that's where he really got his cinematic training,
right.
Even though it was on a small screen. So he was a really, you know, a different talent, but by that point.
What was fascinating was when they were getting the script together, Simon and I think it was Edgar were trying to get together the idea of the movie. I found it fascinating that they set out to make a horror comedy version of Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
That's true. That is very true.
My mouth dropped when I read that.
Yes. Well, I have to say, and it was a bit cheeky of me. So for those who don't know, Rosencrantz, I mean, I'm sure most of your listeners will know, being discerning listeners, but essentially Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is a Tom Stoppard play in which he takes two minor characters from Hamlet and sort of asks, well, and based an entire play around them. And so Edgar and Simon's idea was that American zombie movies, particularly George Romero's zombie movies, Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead, they're all taking place in America, which if you're British just seems like closer to the action generally anyway. And, you know, these films often involved, you know, SWAT teams and TV journalists and scientists and the military. So, you know, they're kind of the people trying to sort this out, the zombie plague. But Edgar and Simon's idea was, well, that's fine if you're, but what if you're just two blokes in a pub in London? You know, how is the zombie apocalypse going to affect these people? And so that's the idea of it being essentially their pitch was, I have to say, their mostly unsuccessful pitch was, you know, as Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is to Hamlet, so Shaun of the Dead is to George Romero's Dawn of the Dead. So Shaun of the Dead is to Dawn of the Dead. As you can imagine, that actually inspired a lot of completely blank faces at like production companies, or studio, offices where they're trying to pitch this thing.
Well, the other thing is they try to pitch it as a romantic zombie comedy or a rom-zom-com.
Right. Right. Yeah. But no, I said because I mean they will say until they're blue in the face, and they're absolutely right that Shaun of the Dead is not a zombie comedy. It is not a parody. Well, it's a zombie comedy, but it's not a parody of zombie movies. The zombie aspect of it is played, you know, with a bloody straight bat.
That's right. That's right.
We would say, which is an appropriate simile or metaphor given Shaun wields a cricket bat through a lot of the film. but what it is a parody of is Richard Curtis movies, essentially. It's a parody of all of those movies where, a couple in London and they break up and they get back together again and so on and so forth. And their other pitch was Richard Curtis, was this film is Richard Curtis shot in the head, which also proves remarkably, as the book details, with these frankly not great pitches. It's a great idea, but it's hard, you know. I think as soon as you start talking about Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead in the context of trying to get money for a zombie movie, then you're making your life quite hard. But there are two great things about this, one of which is that it allowed me to start the book with a quote from Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, which was, sort of justified by the long time I've spent studying English literature, if nothing else. But also, quite recently, Edgar was at a dinner. He told me that he was at a dinner and he was sat next to Tom Stoppard, who he'd never met before. And Tom Stoppard said, "What do you do?" And Edgar, I mean, I'm sure it was more polite than that. And Edgar said, "Well, I'm a director, and I directed Shaun of the Dead." I think Stoppard said that he'd seen Shaun of the Dead, and then Edgar was able to say, "Oh, well, that's good. Funny story about Shaun of the Dead," and then told him that he was sort of the inspiration for both the film and the pitching of the film.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is senior writer at Entertainment Weekly, Clark Collis, and we're talking about his book, which I cannot recommend enough. It's a great read. You've Got Red on You, How Shaun of the Dead Was Brought to Life. There's so much you can talk about. I mean, we're barely scratching the surface, but there were so many weird moments in the making of this film. Casting the film, you know, there was a lot of worry by the higher-ups that they didn't have any big names. And so they were actually thinking of casting Helen Mirren as Barbara, right, as Shaun's mother. And the wild thing is what her response was.
Yeah. So, I mean, the irony of them pitching it as sort of like a parody of Richard Curtis films is that the movie ultimately was produced by Working Title, which is a production company which produced all of those Richard Curtis films. And, you know, by that point, Working Title had hit on something of a formula of you know, a great script still needs, you know, a couple of stars to publicize it. You know, I was talking to one of the sort of co-presidents of Working Title, and he was like, "Well, you just need somebody who can sit on a couch and publicize the movie on a chat show. You know, it falls down to that." So they had written the script with various people in mind, but Working Title said, "Well, maybe you could see if you know, maybe you could cast up," is the phrase. Maybe,
yeah, right.
You know, we get some more famous people, and so they approached Helen Mirren to play the role of Simon Pegg's mother. And Helen Mirren sent a note back saying, "You know, thank you for the offer. I'm not interested in playing the role of Simon Pegg's mother, but I am interested in playing the role of Ed, who is, you know, the part that they'd written for Nick Frost, who is Shaun's drug-dealing best buddy. He sleeps on Shaun's couch and plays video games all the time." And she said, I'd like to do that because that's the funny role. And I can't think, I think it was Edgar said, oh no, I think it was Nick, actually, who actually did play the role in the end. Nick was like, "Well, she's right. That is the funny role. You know, I mean, that's the comic relief, really. And, you know, I mean, in the film to a degree." But I mean, it's not clear whether Dame Helen was half, you know, how much she was joking about this. Maybe not at all, actually.
That would have been a weird movie.
It would have been. I mean, you'd have to explain why, I guess, a lady of a certain age, anyway, was Shaun's best friend and dealing drugs and all the rest of it. But I don't know. I've met some. I mean, I lived a sort of a life not that unlike Shaun in Shaun of the Dead for a period, and I don't know. You meet some pretty wild, you know, slightly older ladies. So it's possible.
We're gonna run out of time, but and like I said, we've talked about like a few spots. How did, for the roles of the background zombies, and they really had to fill a lot of, you know, you need a mess of zombies. They really got fans of the show Spaced.
Right, yes. So Spaced in Britain acquired, a smallish, but a really hardcore fan following. And I think they had a mailing list. They had a list of addresses and phone numbers of fans. And they contacted them and said, "If you want, you know, we're making a zombie movie. Do you want to come and play zombies?" And they were paid £1 a day, which even, you know, back in 2003 would not go very far. They had to be paid £1 a day for legal reasons, I believe. But basically, you know, some of them turned up and were there pretty much for the entire shoot. And the second half of the shoot, Dealing Studios, which is a studio without sufficient air conditioning, certainly at the time, and the summer of 2003 was a particularly hot summer in Britain. Yes, we do get hot summers in Britain. It was like, by all accounts, a pretty tough, you know, pretty tough shoot. But those zombies stuck around. And Simon and Edgar have always said that they couldn't have made this film without fans who turned up and played zombies. So I kind of made it my business to start interviewing zombies. And all of them had absolutely fascinating stories. It's interesting. There's one shot in the film where there's a couple of Edgar's friends playing zombies and they get, you know, gunned down by the soldiers. But those two friends went on to be film directors. One of them is Joe Cornish, who directed Attack the Block, which is a great sci-fi movie. And another one is Corin Hardy, who a couple of years ago had this huge hit with The Nun, which is part of the Conjuring universe. So it is interesting that you have this all, you know, I mean, I can't even see them, to be honest with you. It's really almost a subliminal moment where these two, you know, successful film directors to be get shot down. But the other thing with the zombies was that they were in Ealing so long that, by all accounts, the zombies started hooking up with each other.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that all the stuff at Ealing was basically inside the pub. And the real fake pub, as it were, they had real beer in the taps because the production designer told me that actually it'd be easier to do that than else. You know, I mean, real beer looks like beer on screen. And so apparently on a few occasions, you know, everybody would go home, all the cast and some of the crew, and then the zombies would stick around and have a party with the free beer and some crew members. And put it like this, I don't want to soil the ears of your listeners.
Oh, please do.
But next time they watch Shaun of the Dead, it's worth bearing in mind that, by all accounts, the pool table in the pub was used for more than playing pool in real life.
Oh, on that note, we're actually out of time. And we could talk about this movie for many hours based on this book. There's so much stuff in this book. It's incredible. And I love the fact that you put the pages that they worked on as they were brainstorming. And there's these great little drawings on that. My guest tonight is senior writer at Entertainment Weekly, Clark Cullis. And we've been talking about his book, and I strongly recommend it. Anybody interested not only in this film, but in film in general, you've got Red on You, How Shaun of the Dead Was Brought to Life. Clark, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.